people have powerful feelings about the traffic in Los Angeles. It says something that local officials warned motorists about a temporary road work closure on the 405 last year by calling it Carmageddon. Angelenos took the hint, and this weekend they're expected to steer clear of the latest 405 closure, named, of course, Carmageddon 2. That's how it is in L.A., a snarl of overstuffed freeways and commuters who keep their cool, except when they don't. KPCC's Stephen Cuevas has this profile of a punk rocker whose music expresses the insanity of L.A. traffic while extolling the virtues of public transit.
Couple of things you need to know about Eddie Solis. He lives in L.A., loves the band Kiss, and does not own a car.
Being someone who's from L.A., born and raised, and, you know, having a few cars in my past, I saw the city much differently through a different perspective through the eyes of a bus rider.
Want to stall way the back?
Sure. Line 18, Wilshire Western Station.
Just steps from the front door of his home, across the street from a tortilla factory in L.A.'s Boyle Heights neighborhood, Solis catches a bus that connects him with the city's subway and the commuter train he catches to his day job at an indie record label in Hollywood.
It just opened me up to, like, little neighborhoods, galleries, clubs, bars, just everything. Just seeing what's out there, little pockets of the city.
Solis's journeys aboard L.A. buses and subway cars informs a lot of the material on The New Los Angeles Part 1, Through the Eyes of a Bus Rider, the latest release by the singer-guitarist band It's Casual. In Solis's vision of a new Los Angeles, people abandon their cars, climb aboard public transit, and rediscover their communities. One song extols the virtues of the L.A. County Metropolitan Transit Agency's Easy Pass and the urban underbelly it introduces to the rider.
And that's a nod and homage to, you know, the people who know what you can even go cheaper and really beat the system and really steer away from spending money on gas and oil profits and all that. Is all it takes for me to witness racial tension, for me to witness illegal aliens. It's not to paint a negative picture, it's just my perspective of what is seen.
Off the bus and back on the street, we make our way past a jazz saxophonist playing for pocket change and down a long escalator to catch a train.
So, where are we now?
We're at the Red Line station, the Pershing Square station in downtown L.A.
And what's our destination?
We're going to go down Fairs, another tier, and about 5 minutes we're going to get on the Red Line going northbound.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
The Metro Red Line snakes from North Hollywood to downtown Los Angeles. It's the train that inspired It's Casual's signature tune and spawned a viral internet video. It was partly filmed late at night on a moving train as it hurtles from station to station. Solis thrashes away on his guitar and barks the lyrics, which celebrate the Red Line and call out the congested freeways that coil around Los Angeles.
Este es un tren de Metro Red Line a North Hollywood.
The thread that comes out of the record that ties everyone together is just like, be alive, don't be a victim of having a car.
An MTA spokesman said he couldn't comment on Eddie Solis's furious pro-Metro message, but the Red Line video was a hit at the offices of Move LA.
Eddie's done a good job. Thank you, Eddie.
It's the public transportation advocacy group headed by former Santa Monica Mayor Denny Zane. He liked the juxtaposition of Solis blissfully riding L.A. public transit in one scene with scenes of the band raging against those notorious freeway jams.
Eddie is all frantic when he talks about highways. And so mellow when he's like grooving on a skateboard and on the bus and on the Red Line, there's a metaphor for the transformation, you know, from the, oh my God, I just got to get out of the traffic to, hey, this is cool. I can mellow out.
Or you can blast the tune like Too Many People as you claw your way across Los Angeles by car, bus, or skateboard. Too Many People could also be a motto for It's Casual. Over the years, the band whittled itself down to a power duo of Solis and a rotating cast of drummers. So you may think the burly, bearded punk rocker just can't get along with freeways, with people, or his native L.A. Not true.
I love it. I love everything about it. I've traveled throughout the U.S. many times, and I could never look forward enough to coming back. The weather, the different cultures, the landscape. I was just like, you know what? Now I know why everyone moves to L.A.
Solis will bring the love and the volume during a Red Line mini tour next month. It's Casual will play a different venue within walking distance of several Red Line metro stops from Union Station to West Hollywood. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas.
That's the California Report, a production of KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. Our director this week is Nina Thorson. Seal Muller is our technical producer. We had additional engineering from Danny Bringer and Howard Gelman. Thanks to Hank Hadley at KCBX. Our online team includes Lisa Pickoff-White, David Marks, and Don Clyde. Our interns are Catherine Borgeson and Rachel Johnson. Tyke Hendricks is our elections editor with production help from Tina Lauerberg. We had editing support from Paul Rogers. Victoria Malione is our associate senior producer. Ingrid Becker is our senior producer. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And the California Endowment. Health happens in schools at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information at chevron.com.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10.
Episode of Los Angeles Nista. I'm your host and producer, Eddie Solis. Give us a call tonight, 800-893-9562. If you're on your laptop and want to listen on your phone, download the app instantly for iPhone or Android, the Skid Row Studios app. And welcome to the very special Earth Day edition, Earth Day 2013 of Los Angeles Nista. My in-studio guest, Alyssa Walker, how are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for making it tonight.
Of course.
Exciting. I consider you my car-free sister.
That's right.
There's not too many
of us.
We're
siblings. Yeah.
We're siblings because we choose the car-free lifestyle. Right?
It's true.
Now, I wanted to really send a clear message out to everyone tonight, especially on Earth Day. And I figured, you know, the duality of our, you know, different lifestyles, but having a thread that we have in common would be perfect because we both come from different walks of life but share the same ideal in Los Angeles, where apparently most people cannot fathom leaving their car.
It's true.
I want to know, personally, as we step into the show, you know, and conversate some of your favorite spots, because the whole thing with you, and no pun intended, Alyssa Walker, you're the walker in L.A.
I know. It's my destiny.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's irony.
It's irony. It's ironic.
So I think, you know, the universe kind of just like, if you just step back, it'll work itself and push you through the right channels.
On foot, yeah.
Yeah. So tell us, before we get into all the who, what, where, when, and why of all your work in progress, because you have tons of projects, you know, tell us about yourself. Where are you from?
I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, outside of St. Louis, in the suburbs of St. Louis. And I moved here 11 years ago.
Okay. And when you arrived to Los Angeles, was it basically, let's go out there for pleasure and start a professional career, or did you know what you wanted to do instantly?
It was my third choice, I think, of the cities I wanted to move to.
What was the first?
New York was always where I thought I was going to end up. And then San Francisco was the other place I was really interested in. And both of those places were having trouble when I was looking for a job, which was like 2001. So there was some problems in New York after 9/11. And then there were some problems in San Francisco due to the dot-com bubble exploding. So I kind of, on a whim and just thinking I might just go check it out and maybe spend a few months here, came down to LA, had some friends who were here, and I never left.
Ah, now tell me your first, if you could remember, your first public transportation experience, a full day of it in Los Angeles.
It's a funny thing. I mean, it's very relevant what with Ciclovia happening yesterday, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But the first time I ever took the train, I was one of those people, I didn't know there was a train. And I
had no idea there was a subway.
I think a lot of people
actually
don't know still.
People still don't know 10 years later.
Right. It's taken a while. So yeah, I didn't know there was a train, and I lived in Hollywood, which has great transit accessibility, and was pretty much just walking to the farmer's market, which was in, you know, there's a farmer's market in downtown Hollywood that's
right.
Like the best farmer's market.
Like off Sunset right there, right?
Yeah, it's like on Ivar. Yeah. And I figured out I could walk to there from my house, which was like a revelation because I thought I had to drive there. And then I realized it was actually close enough to walk. So I walked there and I walked by what was then the the Hollywood and Vine Red Line station. And was like, oh, I wonder where that goes, and figured out that I could take that to downtown. And I did that like once. And I think I took it to downtown once and a Universal City once in, you know, like the first 4 years I lived in LA.
Okay. So from that point, like, were you immediately impressed with like, hey, I could get to each destination, Universal or downtown, in 15 minutes?
I was excited, but nobody wanted to go with me. They thought it was scary. They thought it was
like... The stigma is amazing of a subway in LA. Everyone's scared.
Totally. They were like, oh, it's too dangerous. It's too dirty. Like, how do you know when it runs on time? You know, and to be fair, it does stop running really... Or it did stop running really early. It runs a little bit later now. But it was kind of hard to say you wanted to go to a concert because you weren't sure you'd be able to get back.
Or go bar hopping with friends.
Yeah, exactly. You had to really plan for it. So that was my first time I actually... tried it, everyone else was still too worried about it. But my big thing, though, I was really interested in trying to walk from my house to the ocean. And so that became like my big mission. I lived in Hollywood, so it was about, 15 miles. And I planned this crazy route where I was going to walk from my house to Santa Monica Pier. I was so excited. I got my friend John Ramsey to join me. So we did that very early on, like probably the second year I was here. And that became like my big transit excitement moment, I think, where I realized it wasn't that far.
So you actually walked from Hollywood to Santa Monica?
Yes.
The water.
The water.
Okay, and that was no public transportation. It was all walking.
Yeah, we just walked. I just was so curious because I was like, do people do this? And now actually, a lot of people do it, so it's kind of cool.
It's like for the long walkers that do it for exercise.
Yeah,
I mean, that's like the ideal kind of stretch.
Yeah,
straight shot to the ocean. Yeah. Enjoy the day, come back. Let me ask you this: when you did it, you were not in a bus or the subway, but a pedestrian. Did you immediately learn that when the light turns green and it says a walk, that you have to look left and right and then pause and then look left and right again?
I've definitely had some close calls with cars. It's a little scary. Yeah. I mean, it's a different experience here.
Right. Now, since then, have you actually done that walk?
I have. Well, what was funny, because Ciclovia was this past weekend where they closed a bunch of streets to biking and walking and rollerblading and whatever else you want to do, skating.
Sure.
And the route was pretty close to the same route, wow, that we would take, it was from downtown to Venice Beach, but it was just kind of similar distance, like kind of these long stretches of road. So it was really crazy. I would never have expected, after walking that, one day, a very special day. And now there's a group called the Great LA Walk. They do it like every year. They walk different boulevards to the ocean. I would never have expected that the city would have closed the streets for everyone to have that same journey. Most people did it on a bike, of course, because it's kind of far.
Sure.
But the fact that that happened yesterday and I got to see the city do that was probably the coolest thing I've seen happen in LA in a long time.
That's very cool. Yeah. I mean, and you must have actually, pictured, like hit replay in your head and gone back to that day when you did that.
Like getting back, getting
and seeing how
to
many
the ocean.
People are involved.
Yeah, all these people were doing the same thing and it was really exciting. Everybody was on the same mission. Of course, people who lived in Venice were trying to get to downtown, but I felt like the whole city was kind of going together on these streets, creating public space all the way to the beach. And as soon as they got there, they would like run with their bikes into the water so they could put their feet into the water. It was such a cool experience.
That's very cool. I saw a lot of pictures and actually some YouTube footage that people put up. It was really nice. My question to you is, when did the inception of your blog take place?
So it was around the same time I was... I had some jobs where I was, writing stories online and writing stories.
So you did
blogs.
A lot of freelance?
I had done a lot of freelance for other blogs. And I decided to start my own pretty much around the same time that I decided to give up my car. So that was about 6 years ago. And my blog was originally named Gelato Baby after a long journey I took to Italy, where I felt like... I was empowered to have this great career writing about gelato and architecture and food and all the amazing things that I encountered in Italy. I wanted to kind of bring that life every day to my everyday life. So I started this blog named Gelato Baby. I very rarely wrote about gelato because as soon as I started it, I was like, actually, I'm so much more interested in stuff that's going on in LA, stuff that's going on in my neighborhood, and the transit thing and the biking and walking thing. Really took me by surprise. I thought it was just going to be like a fun game, like an interesting thing that I tried to do. And I didn't feel very optimistic that I would be able to continue this project more than a year or so. But what started to happen is that it connected me to my city in a different way. It made me care about things I had never cared about before. And suddenly I had this blog that was writing about transportation issues and taking pictures of things that I saw while I was walking around the city. So it kind of became a great platform for all that stuff.
Very nice. So what year was this though?
So this was like 2000, what year is it right now? It'll be my seventh year. It'll be like 2006.
Okay.
Right? So 2006, 2007. Yeah.
And let me ask you this. When you take public transportation, do you... immediately see things from a different perspective?
I would say I didn't expect that to happen, right. But that is what happened. Like as soon I remember the first bus I took, which was, you know, it's different than the train because I think, you know, we've talked about this, how like the train is like one thing that people feel very comfortable taking. And then the bus was like a scary thing for some reason, and it still is for people. And so I remember taking the bus and getting on the bus, and I was kind of terrified, but it was totally fine. Like the buses are super clean and really nice. And I remember the return trip, when I got home, the stop was at the bottom of my street, like where I lived at my house. And I had never seen the bus stop before. I had never understood that a bus even came there. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, I got to find out where else this bus goes. Like there was like millions of bus stops within like a few blocks.
It's like in your neighborhood, like when you live deep in a neighborhood and you see a bus at the corner, I mean, that's your gateway out.
Yeah.
You know?
And I didn't see it. But at the same time, a lot of cool stuff was going on. Like Metro was rebranding itself really in a smart way. And they've continued to do really good design work and really good outreach work. So they painted the buses really nice colors. They covered the seats in this really nice fabrics and designed by the artist Pei White. So they really tried to make it more of a world-class experience. And I think that coupled with the fact that I made that decision really made the whole thing just resonate with me because I cared so much about design and I was so interested in all that stuff.
Sure. Now, your blog, tell everyone what the name of the URL is.
So now my blog has been rebranded as A Walker in LA.
And your name is Alyssa Walker.
Alyssa Walker in LA, right. So I had to go with it. I had a friend who told me that
it's
I
too
should
good.
Do that. Yeah, it was too good. Yeah, so I went with that.
Okay, so now as far as your topics, I mean, I want to paint a clear picture to everyone out there so they know exactly, you know, if they can log on and check it out. What are some of the specifics that they'll find on your blog?
I definitely have been writing a lot lately about walking, which seems like a boring topic, but I promise it's relevant to every person.
Well, there's more pros and cons than being in a car, right?
Yeah, that's kind of, I'd say that's the general message, is just how much more your life can be enhanced if you choose not to be in a car, especially in LA. I would say anywhere it's a great gift, but here it just changes your whole life, and it will change the way you feel about your city, and it will change the way that you experience things and meet people. And so that I think is the basic message. But so I write a lot about walking and transportation and Los Angeles and some design and architecture, because that's really where I come from as well. I'm really fascinated by the way cities are built and why they look the way that they do.
Don't you feel that when you're on foot or on a bus or taking a red line somewhere and you pop up at all these stops, you definitely connect with your city quicker and in a more sincere way?
Absolutely. That's my big thing, is I just tell people to try to do it like once a week. Just try to get out of your car and do something different like once a week.
But not only connect, I mean, don't you feel inspired?
I do. I've gotten so many stories, story ideas for, you know, different places that I write, just from things that I pass on the street, like literally things that I notice or people that I meet. It's very true.
The content is endless.
Yeah.
You know, you could find it in 4x4
right.
area.
Same with you. Like you get your song material. I get my article material.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. As far as turning people on, like personally, have you noticed more recently because of gas prices and the people are more conscious about doing things more efficiently and really thinking about their health and, taking in more that they actually maybe reach out personally and say, hey, we want to go to this sporting event or something.
I totally love when I'll get either text messages from people. I'll get, people will like tag me on Instagram or like, you know, post something on Twitter and be like, Alyssa, like tell me how to do this, or I'm inspired by you. I'm trying to do this. And I'm like, good job. But I think it is all those combinations of what you've said. Like there's so many different reasons, but it's hard to tell why people personally want to make the choice or want to do something a little bit differently. But I can definitely see something changing in this city, across the country as well, but definitely in this city, a big thing is happening.
It's funny to me when I've been in the same boat trying to turn people onto the red line, et cetera. And everyone, it's either, you know, they just don't know that a subway line exists, that we have many, green line, gold line, blue line, purple line, or they assume the stigma of New York. They say, oh, it's going to be dirty.
Yeah.
And actually, it's one of the cleanest subways.
It's one of the best. Yeah.
It's newer. Regarding the red line, what is your favorite stop? Do you have a favorite stop visually?
On the red line.
That's always pleasant to see when you exit.
I will say that today I hadn't, well, okay, well, Union Station is just my favorite stop in general, just because Union Station is gorgeous and such a dramatic and wonderful gateway into the city. And I think my favorite thing to do is transfer from the red line to the gold line, because you actually do have to walk through part of the station there, and you have this grand architecture and all these people going to different places, and you kind of get to walk through the midst of it. So I think that's probably my favorite.
Very cool. And as far as some of your favorite spots in Hollywood, I want to know personally, when you go to events in Hollywood, what is the most efficient way for you to get there?
Well, it's definitely, from where I live now, I live in Silver Lake.
Okay.
And I moved to another transit accessible.
So you'll take the number two.
Take the number two. Yeah. And sometimes I'll take the four and go on the subway from Vermont and Santa Monica up to Hollywood if it's super trafficy, or if maybe the four comes first. But I take the two, which is the easiest and most efficient way. Or I ride my bike because it's pretty close.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what you just did for Los Angeles Times.
Yeah. So this was a really exciting project that the LA Times just launched today. It's live if you go to their site, where they were trying to find the differences between our two mayoral candidates. For those people who aren't in LA, there's a pretty crazy mayoral race going on. We will have a mayor that's either Eric Garcetti or Wendy Gruhl. And I think tonight, actually, they had a debate and it got a little nasty all of a sudden. So maybe we'll be able to tell the difference between them. That's been the big issue, right?
Yeah.
It's like we can't really tell where they have a difference on policy. So the LA Times asked some people to pose questions to them that they could answer. And I actually haven't viewed the videos yet. I haven't seen their responses to me, but I asked about how they would help make the city feel safer and more welcoming to people when they decided to get out of their cars. So you can go to LA Times and see me asking the questions and see what they say.
That's very cool. I mean, it just seems like that topic of being car free and getting around without being binded to an automobile, SUV, or a huge vehicle is becoming a lot more relevant. And it's being brought up in a lot of social issues, whether it's running candidates.
Yeah.
Or sports teams trying to get more people into their stadium.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I went to a Dodger game on Monday.
I see you had great seats. Like,
we got to see Magic Johnson. It was fun. It was a good night. But yeah, we walked from our friend's house. It's actually not that hard to walk to the stadium, even from Sunset Boulevard. They have this great Dodger Express bus that takes people from Union Station.
Behind Union Station on Bigness.
That's good. Like that, those are good steps. But like, if they don't get some kind of better, like I'm thinking like a gondola, if we could take a gondola from like, you know, that goes from, you know, Chinatown on one side and maybe down to Sunset on the other. But they need to find a way to get rid of all that ridiculous parking lot and get people up there in a more efficient way, because they don't want to park and sit in traffic. People don't want to do it.
Well, it's very convenient. I mean, I've done it many times, and on this show, I've explained it to people over and over. I mean, think about the efficiency of it. I mean, you go to Dodger Stadium, it's traffic. You're on Sunset. You're waiting to be escorted up the hill with the traffic police. You pay $12 an automobile, and you park all the way below the foothill and then walk all the way across. If you have kids, you got to hold all your kids' hands, possibly getting hit by some car. The shuttle, you get off the gold line coming from the east side or the red line coming north, and you walk to the back of Union Station, you show them the tickets, and you get a free ride. The first time I did it, I was very, very surprised, because not only did we get past the gate and in the parking lot, and I was like, oh, it's a free ride, like they promoted, you know, super efficient, but they took you to the front gate.
Yeah, you're right there.
You're right there.
And now they're going to make sure that the buses have priority on Sunset, so you'll get there even faster. So
they're even prioritizing the free ride.
Yeah.
To get everyone
enthusiastic.
Because
they want people to use it. Yeah, of course.
Exactly.
And that's the big issue for, you know, for this football stadium that they're trying to put in downtown, is that they're like, oh, well, we need to put in more parking and people won't take the subway or they won't take the light rail. But if you make it super easy like that, then they will. And I don't think anybody doesn't want to. I think they just need to be given permission to do it.
Right. What do you think about the MTA's scheduling as far as like how it is presented to the public, to a first timer? Do you think it's, you know, I would like to get, you know, a super clear and simple answer on your end as far as, do you feel that it's more complicated than it should be?
I think people, I think there's two different issues that I think could be areas of improvement, perhaps. But I think that anyone with a smartphone really has no excuse to not take transit in the city, because the app that Metro released is really, really good. It has real-time bus arrivals. Yep. It uses GPS to tell you exactly where you are, what stops are nearby. So like anyone that says they can't figure it out, if you have a smartphone, you have to... It's too easy. Yeah, and I didn't even have that when I started. You probably didn't either. Like, we had to actually learn schedules. And, yeah, you know,
hold a schedule.
Yeah, it's so crazy. But the other thing that I do agree with is that some of the signage and some of the, maps at different stations, like, we could really benefit from having a lot better maps of the area, maps of neighborhoods, wayfinding signage that would tell you what landmarks are nearby, let you have a little bit better idea of what bus stop you're at and how it fits into the larger network. And so those kind of improvements, like the fact that there's no bus shelter at every bus stop, is just a really big bummer when you're trying to stand there in the sun waiting for your bus to come.
And, right.
We need better infrastructure.
One thing that they barely put up this year is the shelters over the Red Line stations.
Yeah.
Pershing Square, Chatham, and so forth.
Yeah.
I mean, that barely came in.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, also though, I'd rather have a bunch of bus shelters than those like pretty canopies that go over the Red Line.
Sure. For me, you know, I personally think the MTA is doing a great job with expanding services, creating new lines, making things very rideable and tolerable. And I'm excited. And when I'm able to share my knowledge and get people excited to get on, they seem excited. But the only thing is, I always have people coming to me because of the confusion on their PDFs. And I think that things could get a little more streamlined as far as the intersections that you put in on a metro.net. I think that's the only, you know, in hindsight, as a customer, I believe that's the only issue that could be improved.
Right.
And just, I mean, the apps are one thing, but there are still people that are like, maybe just archaic about things, mm-hmm. that may have a smartphone, but just don't want to do the app. They want to go to the source.
Right.
No pun intended with the blog. But, you know, I think that there's room for improvement there, my opinion.
Yeah.
Do you think that ridership is up? Have you looked into the numbers?
I mean, apparently, yes. I think that is kind of the general conventional wisdom in the city, is that more people are riding it. I think the more interesting stuff that I've been reading is that I read the story today in the Washington Post about how much Americans are driving less than they were even 5 years ago. And the decline among young people is just like staggering. Like, young people are not in any way interested in getting their license and driving cars and buying cars anymore.
So a decade ago or 15 years ago, when you wanted the SUV with the rims and the big sound system, it's like everyone's figuring it out that you're not going to win.
I think it doesn't have the same, like, for me, I wanted to get my license as soon as possible because I felt like I was missing out on something.
And
I wanted to be in that car, and I don't even like driving. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I just wanted to be like on the scene.
Exactly. No, I mean, let's just put something into perspective. If you want to go out drinking and come back home, you're not driving. So
I just wanted to go to like this parking lot of a McDonald's. That was like the only, where all the cool things were happening. It wasn't even about drinking. It was just about like going to hang out.
The hot rods and McDonald's?
Yeah. Oh, not even hot rods. Like, I had a Ford Probe. It was so embarrassing.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Alyssa Walker, the Walker in LA, talk about some of her other recent published stories and her website. We'll be back.
This is Ignacio Salcido from La Mascota Bakery in Boyle Heights. You're listening to LA Nista and SkidRowStudios.com.
This episode of Los Angeles Nista is brought to you by La Mascota Bakery, a family-owned business serving the community since 1952. Tamales and sweetbread, made the old-fashioned way daily.
Yeah. say for yourself.
right. Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm your host, Eddie Solis, Los Angeles Nista, my in-studio guest, Alyssa Walker. How you doing with that break?
I'm good. That's a good break.
Yeah. You're rejuvenated and fresh and ready to go at it again?
Ready.
Well, you know what? There's a piece that you wrote for LA Magazine in the latest issue. Tell us about that, where people could find the magazine and what your piece is about.
Yeah, it's a new issue on affording LA. I think it's about all these different hacks for how you can live maybe a rich life in Los Angeles with spending less money. And they asked me to, my great editor, Nancy Miller, asked me to write a story about how you could save money by not having a car. And I have a little essay, a very short essay about how I got rid of my car, and then some tips for car-free living. If you want to just kind of ease your way in and not quite jump all the way in yet, how you can kind of get started. And the people at the magazine were so great. They put the story online and created this challenge called Better Off Ped. And they're challenging everyone to draw a 2-mile circle around their house. This is one of my tips. You draw a 2-mile circle around your house and you promise that you're not going to drive to anywhere in that 2-mile circle. So what you start to do is realize, first of all, how close a lot of things are that you didn't know were close enough to your house that you could walk to them. And then what also happens is that you walk by, say, a dry cleaner in your neighborhood, and you're like, why do I drive to the dry cleaner that's like a couple miles away when I could walk here and pick up my dry cleaning and walk it back to my house? So you start to just change your lifestyle and see your neighborhood in a different way.
Sure. So, and the premise of the piece was how to spend less.
Well, yeah, that's the crazy thing that I had never, that was never my motivation.
And that's a West Side magazine.
Yeah.
Where everything's more expensive, right?
I think LA Magazine is actually doing a lot of great things to change their image, and that you might think it's this glossy West Side feeling magazine, but they're actually doing a lot of really cool, more city-focused things. But the funny thing was that, you know, saving money was never a motivation for me to not have a car, to not drive. I just thought it was more fun.
Right.
And when I looked at it, the statistic was that you save about $10,000 a year by not having a car. And I think it's actually in LA probably more than that you could save.
I would say even double.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on, you know, what kind of car you would have had. But.
And the driving and yeah. the gas.
Depends how much you would have paid for parking. Yeah.
All of that comes into play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just seems like, you know, LA Magazine, you know, they're not just a West Side magazine. You could get it many places.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, people from all income brackets want to save money. And to put it out there, it's not a bad thing. It's like, you know, you want to think smarter, you know, and, you know, spend less and get more.
Yeah. And I think if you don't want to get rid of your car completely, just try it as an experiment. Give yourself a few days a week. Do your own Ciclovia or something that you in state maybe every Saturday or something, but just so you can give yourself a taste of it, and then you probably will like it.
Sure. I mean, I think another interesting thing that you said about the 2-mile radius is that you will see, in fact, like you don't have to drive farther for something because there's something closer than you thought, because you actually did a very thorough overview of what's around you.
Yeah.
And it's when you discover more, I think you feel enriched with information, and you could say, like, well, you know what? All this is within arm's reach. Why am I getting in the cars, you know, paying $3 just to start it up?
Ridiculous.
You know, as far as your transit pass these days, you use the good old tap card.
The good old fashioned tap card, which you can get, you can buy it at a lot of the vending machines at the Metro rail lines. And I think you can buy them on the bus. Can you?
They charge you $1.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which makes sense. I mean, that's anywhere, you know, I think even in the machine, they charge you an extra $1
just
for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, what's funny too, is they have they have the standard blue tap card, but they also have the tap prepaid Visa card.
Oh, they do?
So what you could do is, like, you know, if you're on public transportation, like, you know, there's, like anywhere else, good apples and maybe a small portion of bad apples. And, you know, maybe, you know, walking through, you may drop something or something may happen, and maybe you don't want to take your real bank card in your wallet. So what I started doing is I signed up for this, and I load the tap portion and I load the Visa portion.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
So I have that every day and I use that to tap and purchase stuff.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's all in one. And it's like, you know,
good thing
you
could, I came here tonight.
Yeah, good old Eddie. Yeah.
He knows all the tap card information.
And a really cool thing is the Easy Pass.
Right. You love the Easy Pass.
Yeah, that's like an $84 monthly thing, but it's good for any agency in SoCal.
Yeah, that's good.
In addition to MTA. So, I mean, you know, if you're like, you know, heading out like on Foothill Transit or, you know, to the Inland Empire or right. OCTA or Long Beach, you could like, you know, get a farther reach. And $84 is more than a MTA monthly pass, but it's still $280 a day when you divide it.
Right. It's worth it.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, the possibilities are endless to win. It's a win-win situation. What do you think? I mean, you know, today's Earth Day. Right. Do you think that the majority out there really know that it's Earth Day?
I think people know, and I think it's actually gotten to the point where it's become a little bit commercialized in a way for people to try to sell products that maybe don't have anything to do with Earth Day. Like I got an email from a press person from a very large car manufacturer today trying to tie their product into Earth Day, and that kind of made me sick.
Did you cringe a little?
Well, they should know better than to send me a press release for cars. That's just really silly. They actually did their research. But I think for me, you know, of course, I believe that we should celebrate this planet. For me, I felt like yesterday was Earth Day. Like Ciclovia to me just really represented all the celebrations
and
the components of what I believe Earth Day should be, and I hope everybody else in LA feels the same way.
Yeah, you know, I mean, for me, you know, I was doing a lot of research, and I just noticed a lot of the big manufacturers tying in their product.
Yeah,
you know, whether it's juices or cleaning products or automobiles, and I was like, you know, that's I don't know. I mean, I get it, but at the same time, that's very hypocritical, in my opinion, because what are you doing the other 300 days plus?
Yeah.
You know, you're promoting your gas-guzzling car or, you know, a product that takes a lot of plastic.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I guess they're trying to, you know, reach a demographic. But I think the fact that you get press releases, that says something. I mean, it'd be nice if they pulled a car up to your place and said, here's a free car. There's a press release inside.
Yeah. I'll be like, goodbye.
So tell me, you know, you reside in Silver Lake, and on the show, we try to highlight certain areas that people know really well. How long have you been living in Silver Lake for?
So that's been 4 years. Yeah.
And it's all good. You're happy.
I do. I like it. It's a funny thing that we've noticed. You know, we picked the neighborhood, obviously, to be transit accessible. We also have just a really nice small town feel in Silver Lake. We have our little farmer's market. We have some great restaurants and bars. We have a lot of friends who live there. It's very hilly and has a lot of the public staircases.
A lot of character, too.
Yeah, a lot of character. And I like wandering around and exploring, but it's actually become kind of a tourist destination for, like, hipsters. So it's on the weekends, sometimes we laugh about how we live in this like kind of Disneyland for hipsters.
Now, it's really funny. I'm just going to interrupt you really quick. My mom the other day asked me what a hipster was because she listens to the show. And she seems like the hipster's the target lately, you know, without getting, and I'm not trying to, you know, ruffle feathers with any hipsters out there. But as a resident, I'm sure you could identify the out-of-town hipsters.
Yeah. Right away. I mean, I don't know where they're coming from, but I just know that. And please come spend money in my neighborhood and support the great businesses. I'm not deterring anyone, but I think Silver Lake has gotten a lot of press, like on any other neighborhood in many cities are the same kind of place as this like haven for a certain lifestyle, which I actually think we're not that cool anymore. I think like other neighborhoods are becoming a lot more cool than even Silver Lake. And I'm not, you know, trashing my own neighborhood, but
no, I mean,
we're getting older, you know, we're like having kids now in Silver Lake, so we can't be hipsters anymore. Right.
Right. Right. But I think that, well, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, you know, the landscape, the geography of Silver Lake is very unique, has a lot of charm, is very easy on the eyes as far as, you know, walking through and looking at all the nice houses. And whether it's a little house or a big house, and they all have their own character and message. There's a story behind everything.
It's true.
You know, and all the lush, you know, bushes and trees, you know, off the hillsides and the reservoir.
Reservoir's good.
Of course. Yep. Is that something that you do, is walk the reservoir at all?
You know, when I was like running, when I used to do things like that, I would run around it. But I'm much more interested in more like of an urban hiking thing. So I'll go climb the public stairways. And
let's talk about that. Where's that located?
There
exactly?
are so many. There are about 300 in the city of LA that have been documented by my friend Bob Inman. He wrote a book called A Guide to the Stairways of Los Angeles. And he focuses on ones that are, you know, built by the city back when, of course, the, you know, red car was coming through the different neighborhoods and people needed to get down from their hilly houses down to the trains and the trolleys. So these existed, you know, a long time ago. They're, you know, 1920s and 1930s. And there's a big event that comes up next month. It's in May this year, called the Big Parade. And we walk from Angels Flight downtown to the top of the Hollywood sign, up the mountain above the Hollywood sign, over 2 days, and climb about 110 different public stairways as we weave this like crazy, you know, route through the city. We used to camp out for 2 years. We camped out in Silver Lake halfway through, which was an amazing experience.
That's awesome. Who needs Gold's Gym?
I know, right?
Or Bally's.
The stairs are the greatest gift to Angelinos. A lot of people also just don't know that they exist. So it's a pretty interesting, project. That's my friend, Dan Capel. He is like a crazy stair person. So he's the one who heads that up.
Yeah, I was really excited because I was looking into his research and I saw he highlighted the stairs that were in the Laurel and Hardy movie.
Oh, yeah. That's right by my house. That's where I live. Yeah.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the Music Box stairs. Very famous stairs.
How many steps are those exactly?
They're not that big. There's really tall ones like the Baxter stairs in Echo Park, which are like, it's over 100. I don't know exactly how many, but it's super steep and kind of switchbacks of stairs and like multiple flights. It's like climbing, you know, 7 or 8 flights of stairs, really, really tall, really steep stairs. But, and there's ones that are like longer, but they don't go as steep. So there's all kinds of staircases to climb.
Very cool. As far as venturing out east, you know, have you had much experience doing that? Like going into Boyle Heights or East LA via public transportation?
Boyle Heights is like, it was so funny. I was on a panel a few weeks ago with Ed Begley Jr. You know, he is another car-free sibling, perhaps, or he has a car, but he prefers not to use it. And he and I both agreed that Boyle Heights was our favorite neighborhood to explore, and especially because the Gold Line goes right there now. And I think a lot of people have discovered Boyle Heights.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that a lot of people didn't know it was there. And the way that they revitalized Mariachi Plaza has just really changed the accessibility of the neighborhood. I love riding the Gold Line just because it's above ground and you actually get to see
That's
the neighborhood
exactly
you're
what
going
I tell
through.
People.
Which
I think,
is so fun. Yeah.
I think the Gold Line is the most scenic route.
So too. Yeah.
Especially when you go the northbound towards Pasadena from the station. You go through
pretty.
The hills of Highland Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like Boyle Heights and Highland Park is actually another good example. But those are just neighborhoods that I would never really known or understood or explored. And the fact that it goes there, I just jump off and walk around. And some of the streets in Boyle Heights are just, you know, you just can walk down these perfectly scaled streets with these little businesses and these, you know, barbershops and these like, 99-cent store knockoffs and all this amazing food. And it's just a really special place to walk. And same with a lot of places in like Highland Park and Eagle Rock. And although, you know, those might be well explored by people, but it's definitely a fun adventure.
Right. I mean, let me ask you this. I mean, Boyle Heights being the first East Side city over the river.
Right.
The first true East Side city. Being from out of town and being well established here for over a decade, what was your first reaction when you were there?
I mean, I feel like, so of course, the first time I went, you know, to the east side of LA, it was way before there was a train there. And it definitely made it feel like you were going to this other world. I think probably the first time I went to the east side, which doesn't even count, I went to a party at the brewery, which is on the east side of the river.
Sure.
But didn't even really know that there was stuff on the other side of the river at all.
I mean, Alameda,
I feel like I went to Pasadena, but that didn't really register that that was, you know, there was all these other communities in between. So, I mean, I think probably, you know, I enjoy food. And so I probably went to some pilgrimages to some places to eat in East LA, but never had that kind of experience where I would ride my bike down Cesar Chavez or, you know, walk on any of those streets coming off of the Gold Line. So that it just really changed the way that the relationship that I had to that side of town.
Sure. And as far as the Gold Line goes, I mean, let's talk about that. I mean, we're here talking about the Red Line, and that's a great component to get from downtown to Hollywood back and forth.
Yeah.
Because from either direction, you're looking at rush hour, it's an hour, hour and 10 minutes. Yep. You could get, you know, from the Red Line to downtown Hollywood in, what, 17 minutes?
Probably, yeah. Probably.
So, I mean, going on the Gold Line with your experience, I mean, if you were to sell someone on the most scenic line, I would say it's the Gold Line. Would you?
I would say it's the Gold Line. I agree. The Expo Line is actually really fun in this, a similar way, just because it's, again, above ground. Like, as much as we love the subways for getting us around below the ground, I really prefer to be above the ground.
Sure,
so I like the light rail better. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Expo Line I've been on at nighttime, so I haven't really seen things thoroughly. But, I mean, tell me about it.
Well, it's interesting because it follows an old right-of-way that, you know, when real trains traveled from along the coast up to downtown. So it follows an existing right-of-way. So you can see a lot of the former buildings or the buildings that used to be warehouses or different kind of factories or whatever that had to have that rail, you know, access. And you kind of just get this wonderful peek into the city, kind of like the, you look at the backyards and like the garages of all these places and the open factory doors, which is pretty amazing. And in Culver City, especially, what an amazing thing that they've done there. They've put a bike path underneath it so you can actually like ride your bike right below it. It just kind of cuts through this former industrial area that has some of the most amazing architecture. I led a walking tour there 2 weeks ago where we visited a lot of the studios that have popped up around there. So it's just going to get more amazing as it goes to Santa Monica. And they've broken ground on almost all the stations now. So it's making its way there. It should be open in like 2 years, which
yeah,
is crazy.
Now, as far as Silver Lake goes, I think that that's a very family friendly neighborhood. And district.
I'd say yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, tell me what you think would be some of the more highlights for, you know, some of our listeners to check out, like if they were, you know, bringing their kids and everything.
So Silver Lake, you know, we have a farmer's market that's really fun. It's on Tuesday and Saturday, which
twice
is really nice, twice a week. We have this nice pedestrian plaza that you can go and hang out with your kids called Sunset Triangle Plaza. So that's very cool.
Now, pets are not allowed there, right?
Pets cannot come to the farmer's market. They can hang out in the plaza when there's, you know, not a farmer's market. And then on the other side of Silver Lake, there's the meadow, which is also pets aren't allowed in this one too. Sorry for pet owners. I'm only going to talk about kid owners. But the meadow is this beautiful grassy area next to the reservoir that they've just recently opened. And you can go take a picnic and hang out in there. So those are kind of like the highlights, I think, and, you know, just to be outside and see other families and hang out. We, of course, have some wonderful gelato and ice cream places in Silver Lake. It's very important for children.
What are some of your favorite places?
Well, today I went to Paso Gelato, which does a lot of, they're right in Sunset Junction. They do a lot of seasonal flavors. So they had like some prickly pear fruit that I tried today. And they do a really good chocolate sorbet, which is kind of an amazing way to have really good chocolate. And then on the other side, not technically in Silver Lake, it's more in a part of town we called Hellmel, which is Heliotrope and Melrose. There's a place called Scoops, and they have really inventive flavors.
Oh, wow.
Like olive oil and salted chocolate and all these other kind of more radical flavors.
Wow. So as far as gelato in Hollywood,
you know,
is there anywhere? Because I was thinking about that the other
okay,
day.
Okay, so in Hollywood, there's, well, if not in Hollywood proper, but you'll want to go to Mashti Malone's, which is a very famous Persian ice cream place.
Wow.
So they have traditional like rose water, they have saffron, they have all these really very different flavors that you probably haven't had before, but they're wonderful. So that's over on, you know, a little bit more on the west side of Hollywood, but it's in a strip mall. It's on La Brea.
Well, like more West Hollywood.
More like, well, not quite, not technically West Hollywood, the west side of Hollywood, yeah. So it's kind of off, a little bit off the beaten path, but it's really good.
You know, I mean, a lot of times when I read your blog and see all your other projects you're working on that are where the catalyst is walking and being car free, I always forget that you're so into gelato.
Right. It's a big part of it, I think, is because you have to, you know, walk off the gelato.
Right. So. Now, would you say the whole gelato, product is very regional? Like, it's very like East Coast, West Coast?
It's caught on here because there's a perception that gelato is more healthy than ice cream, which it is true. It is healthier, but it's made with less fat. It's milk instead of cream usually, and it doesn't have to be frozen as hard as ice cream. So it's kind of like a different flavor sensation. The flavors are a little bit more true to your tongue. So I think that paired with the fact that there's so many great people. Bulgarini is another one of my favorites. They're in Altadena and in Culver City. The one in Altadena is not super transit accessible. So maybe we won't talk about that one. But there's one in Culver City right by the Expo Line station there.
Now, what stop is it by? Do you know?
So it's by the Culver City station, the very last one on the Expo Line now. Yeah, so it's really close. That's a perfect example of just like super traditional flavors, bringing these Italian years of Italian experience, but they use a lot of interesting local flavors and, you know, getting stuff fresh from the markets. And so it's kind of that, it's a perfect place to make ice cream and gelato.
And now you traveled a lot and, you know, following you on Instagram to see where you're going. I'm sure you try, you know, gelato in other regions and other countries. But the thing is, going back to my original question about it being regional, have you noticed that, like, for instance, you know, living in LA, that the cultures are so immersed together, you know. Have you noticed that there's more hybrids happening, like new flavors?
Is
it just traditional?
Well, no, I think it's, especially with ice cream, it's really interesting because we do have those seasonal flavors, but also, we have such great access to, you know, this produce, the amazing produce like that's grown locally. So there's a lot of experimentation with that. But there's also just like, LA is just this amazing food city. And for example, just a few doors down from Bulgarini Gelato, also in Culver City, is Cool House, which you might have seen their food trucks, their ice cream sandwich makers. They're amazingly inventive people. And so they have a storefront in addition to their trucks, which you'll see all over town. And they make a fried chicken and waffle ice cream, which is definitely borrowing the, you know, flavors from Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, an LA, amazing LA institution.
Totally.
And a combination that you should never do without at 2 a.m. when you're coming home.
Coming out of the Palladium.
Yeah.
It's right by the Palladium. Exactly.
So, but they've like kind of taken that amazing twist of LA culture and turned it into an ice cream. And same with Scoops. They both do that kind of very inventive thing. So there is more traditional and there is more kind of these artisans of food.
So it appears that you've actually researched the ice cream versus gelato. I mean, is it more fattening than ice cream?
Well, ice cream just has more butter fat and it's made with cream, and gelato can be made with milk because it doesn't have to be frozen as hard. So yes, technically gelato, if you want to go all the way, you could get to have sorbet, which is dairy free too. So you'd be a very healthy person if you had that. So.
And what's your favorite?
I mean, I have so
many.
I really love olive oil gelato. That's one of my favorite things to have. A lot of places make it very well in the city. I'm a big fan of just a really good stracciatella, which is just basically chocolate chip ice cream, but they make it in a very Italian way that is just blows your mind, especially when it has good chocolate. And I mean, I also really appreciate some of the more inventive seasonal fruit flavors. There's at Pazzo, for example, they make red grape, which you would never think there's anything special about that, but it's pretty amazing what they make.
And before we take another break, what's your favorite gelato place in LA?
Oh, see, I named all my favorite places. I don't think I have any like very, you know, favorites. Well, I mean, I appreciate different places for different reasons. So like definitely like Scoops is one of my favorites. Pazzo in my neighborhood, Gelato Bar, and Cool House and Bulgarini. So if I can have five, that would be what I would name. They're all good. They're all over the city too. So I'm not too far away.
All right, another break. We'll be back with Alyssa Walker.